the amazing thing about this is that as Jenny was getting up and sharing, and Lori, I have similar things that the Lord gave me to share, and they're just expanded upon. And so I'm not giving my testimony at first. First, I want to tell you about my heart and what happened when I didn't guard my heart. When I was first born again, it was just me and Nicole. The Lord discipled me through Nicole. He taught me to love his word. He gave me a love for the truth. And he just started speaking to me then. And he told me one day, a young babe, I mean, I was a newborn, baby, to read Job. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian church. I didn't know, you know, I've heard about Job. I'm like, but I didn't know much of anything about Job. I'd been through the New Covenant twice because I was in love with his word. He did that. He gave me, I was in love with the truth. He did that for me. And so after I read Job, he told me to read it again. I'm like, okay. After I read Job, he told me to read it again. He just kept telling me to read Job. And as I was reading Job, I wasn't reading Job with a sober mind. When I read Job, I saw a man in with great pain, but I compared myself to him. This man was so faithful to the Lord. He was so amazing. I mean, he just didn't complain or anything. And when you read it with a sober mind, he complained a lot. He felt sorry for himself. He mourned. But the Lord brought him out of that, because he knows we're but dust. And so anybody who's suffering here, Jesus does care. He loves you very much. And so I wrote it down. I usually don't write things down. So anybody who suffers physically knows that pain demands to be felt. And a lot of times I'll get anxious in my body, though my heart is still, and my thoughts will race. So I have to make sure that I want to get the Lord's heart across. So I want to pray first, if that's all right. Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father. I thank you for all these women. I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you just delivered us all from the pit, Lord, and you continually deliver us, that you deliver us even from our own destruction. Father, I pray that each word that I speak, Lord, will be the oracles of you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you've given me this opportunity, Lord. I consider it to be a great honor, Lord. And I pray that you're glorified, because even the very words that you've given me are borrowed. They're not mine. We give you all the glory, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Okay, so Proverbs 4:23 says, "He that hath no rule, self-control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." This is who I became. I was a city without walls. I was vulnerable to any attack from the devil, any deception. Because as the scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I got married and I got offended with the Lord, because the things that I needed to do as a wife, I couldn't accomplish. And my husband's a new believer, and so there was a lack of understanding. And this is where I held an offense, and I held the offense toward the Lord. The Lord's been showing me my problem was with him. When I sin against someone, I only sin against the Lord. Offenses come where we're all called to forgive and love, but that's who I sin against. The Lord. I instead allowed bitterness to take root because I was offended. My spirit was broken, and I can no longer sustain my infirmity. And Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit who can bear?" Now, when I look to the word of truth, now I see that Jesus came up to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1, Psalms 147:3, I say this because I was still reading his word. I was still being used, though the condition of my heart was not good. I would endure a while bearing fruits because he was washing me with his word, but I couldn't figure out why I could not walk in his spirit. Why I could not walk in his spirit with my husband. Why I couldn't walk in his spirit through persecution. And I would fall right back into bondage. So I'm going to tell you right now, ladies, if anybody's harboring unforgiveness, I'm telling you, you are in prison. You are in prison and you don't know it. Maybe you don't know it, but you're in prison. And I beg you and entreat you, give your heart to the Lord. Give that offense to the Lord and he will deliver you. But praise Jesus, he came to set the prisoner free, the captives free. Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1. You see, I was reading the word, I was worshiping, but the word wasn't taking root in my heart. Now, I was doing this, I didn't know that this root of bitterness was that deep in my heart. Whether it was in my heart or not, deep or not, it was still bitterness, but I didn't know. So renewing my mind without dealing with my heart was positive thinking for me. It was, okay, this is what the Lord says. Praise the Lord. But there was no root being taken in my heart, no true repentance. And I want to tell you, ladies, suffering is definitely a breeding ground for bitterness. If you have a lack of understanding of the word, a lack of the Lord's will, I knew the word. I was warned. It is a breeding ground for bitterness. Job 7:11, therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Hannah, Hezekiah, in 1 Samuel 1:10 and Isaiah 38:15, they had bitterness of soul. Even Israel became bitter. But instead of repenting and submitting unto the Lord, Israel had wounds that were not closed, where the Lord wanted to use their suffering to purify them. Because of their hearts, it only caused more rebellion. They refused to turn to him in obedience. Isaiah 1:6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and a putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, the Lord said he came up to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. So why wasn't Israel's, Jesus hadn't come to the earth. Why weren't those wounds bound up? They weren't dealing with their hearts with the Lord. Instead of looking at the discipline and repenting, their pride, they got harder. And suffering, if you're not looking at it through sober eyes, and if you're not staying close to the Lord, that can definitely happen to anyone. I don't care who you are. But unlike Israel, Job, Hannah, and Hezekiah, they cried out. They cried out, even in the bitterness of their own souls. They laid their hearts before the Lord. There was a point where they repented. They chose to take this great sorrow before them. Hannah was mocked because she could not conceive. And she still chose not to hold on to it, to take it to the Lord. Jesus uses our suffering to give us humility. Humility of heart, a complete dependence upon him. And faith on him, through him, in him, on his name, who he is. He never allows affliction to happen to destroy us. As you look at Job, that wasn't why he allowed it. But he wants us to draw near to him during these times. It's for a deeper dependence. If you ask any mature woman in Christ in this room who has been through something, they will tell you that they learned, you heard Jenny's testimony and Lori's, that they have learned so much through suffering. and having the right heart. Now, we don't always start off that way. I praise the Lord for Jenny's testimony. I'm the testimony of what not to do, but there's hope. So I'm grateful. Hey. He wants us to grow in his character and his grace. Job 42:5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. You understand, Jesus is our reward. If you haven't come to terms with that yet, there's nothing in this life that is ever going to give you the satisfaction that Jesus will. The love you're seeking, I don't care if you were rejected. I don't care if you were left. I don't care if you were abused. Jesus can heal you, and there is nothing like his love. The Bible says in 1 John, God is love. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love. He's one with the Father, but he was still fully man. And so he came down to bear our sins. That's intense. God was humble. Who are we? And so through that suffering in Job, he had a deep and rich knowing of who the Lord was. He found a deeper intimacy with the Lord than he ever would have had he not suffered. Lori used this scripture. You're going to hear it a lot. Here's scriptures that were used a lot by Lori and Jenny. Our hope is in him. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about there's a time and season for everything under the sun. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. He has a purpose for every season. He has a purpose for every season under the sun. God cannot lie. So for those who suffer greatly, your suffering will not be in vain if you abide in Christ. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now we're going to get to the juicy stuff, as Nicole says, juicy. I'm like, is that even allowed? The juicy stuff. How did I allow bitterness to come into my heart? Because for a while there, I didn't see it. I'm very young in the Lord. The Lord has, and that's not an excuse, but the Lord has given me a lot of knowledge in his word. It's like my mind picks up scriptures I've read once. He would give me a prophecy, and that's the Lord's doing. So it's phenomenal to see that, but also the word needs to take root in my heart. And I need to walk and grow in maturity and wisdom. I allowed bitterness to come in my heart because I became double-minded. I stopped trusting the Lord, and I became the Lord of my own life. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah says, come near to all the people and say, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And to me, if you're the Lord of your own life, you're not really. I mean, you're giving into the works of the flesh. That's the work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy that. And I'll sit up here confidently and say, I did that. I may not have backslid as you think, but I did backslide in my heart. Instead of committing myself to the Lord and to the gospel, to what the Lord already firmly placed in my heart, after I started getting sicker, I became concerned with only my rights. As Jenny talked about, my rights in my marriage, my rights. What's a godly husband look like? What does a godly wife look like? James says it's called selfish ambition. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, which is also means self-seeking. In your hearts, do not be arrogant, and as a result, be a defiance in the truth. New King James says, lie against the truth. This superficial wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, there is disorder, confusion, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. Which we finally come to my testimony. Now, the offenses were real. I was being persecuted. But the thing is that the Lord, he does care about what we go through. I'm not sitting up here and telling you for one second that what you're going through is not real, that it's a figment of your imagination. It is real. But he's more concerned about the condition of our hearts. Because like Lori said, like Jen said, through suffering, we get this deep confidence and reliance in the Lord. The Lord hates injustice, but as he hates others' injustice, he also hates mine. And so he will defend and deliver the oppressed. He promised that in his word. But he cannot and will not forgive your sins if you openly rebel and refuse to forgive. If you are openly, and I'm not talking about, he'll work on your heart, I'm not talking about a struggle, but if you openly are choosing to hate your brother or to hate someone, I'm going to tell you right now, according to scripture, Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive others in their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. He understands your pain, and he will judge, he will vindicate. And if this person never comes to Christ, he will have vengeance because his children do not see his wrath. That's where humility comes. The Lord loves us all. He gives a measure of grace, but he loves us all. He doesn't love one more than the other, and he's just. And so if I choose to hold on to my offenses, how can a just God then, after he died for them, but I don't want to forgive someone, how can he then cleanse me? How can he be mocked that way? He can't go against himself. So here we go to my testimony. I have arthritis in my body. I was told I'm too young to call it osteoarthritis. I need back surgery, but I chose not to get it. I was told I might not be able to walk by the time I'm 40. I have what's called spinal stenosis, where I have every disc in my lower back is either protruding or bulging. And so the stenosis, what it does is that disc presses on my nerve, and so I get sciatica. I've got it bad one time, really bad, and I couldn't walk. It's extremely painful. It's extremely debilitating. But the Lord has gotten me to a place where it doesn't matter. It matters to him how I feel, but it doesn't matter how I feel. I do want to serve. That's my heart. But I wasn't always there. I also have what's called a pancreatic insufficiency. And so basically, I'm starving. My body doesn't absorb nutrients. So no matter how much I eat, I'm not getting the vitamins I need. My hair's falling out. My eyebrows are falling out. My eyelashes are falling out. I get rashes all over my body, bruises. That's probably one of the hardest things I've ever went through. I was persecuted a lot by the doctors. And that's not a prideful statement. It was the truth. The Lord had a word through Trish, because I'm the type of person who thinks, well, if I'm seeing it one way and they're seeing it another, then I had improper submission. The facts are the facts. The gospel's the facts. The Lord will deliver me. But I was persecuted a lot. My heart rate would raise up and my blood pressure would drop. I was dizzy. I've almost passed out. I also have arthritis in my hands. I have arthritis in my neck. And now I have there's something going on with my left shoulder joint. I was told that it's possible that I have, two doctors told me I have lupus, but I did not go to the rheumatologist, and I backed away from that a little bit because I realized I want to trust the Lord and I want to follow what he wants me to. I want to follow him. I want to follow his will. And so, it's day by day. Sometimes it's second by second. I was given enzymes so that I would absorb. I was never given a diet to follow. Praise the Lord, Ruth did come over. I lost 20 pounds. You may not be able to see it, but I have no boobs anymore. I lost about 2.5 breast sizes. My clothes don't fit. I did put on a little bit of weight. Praise Jesus. My husband's amazing. He was getting boost. And so for a while there, I wasn't eating. And the Bible actually says it's better to die by the sword than to starve. And so it was probably one of the most difficult things. My potassium will drop, so I'll get muscle cramps. I don't absorb C, A, any of those things. Your pancreas, it produces enzymes, so when you eat, it breaks down the food. So I would get what they call fecal impaction. I know that sounds gross. But I got a fecal impaction. I was in the hospital because there was whole food in my intestines. And that was very painful. And so the Lord was using all these things. It was like he would warn me before some of these things would happen. I had about 8 infections. I was told I'm going to be diabetic. I'm pre-diabetic already, and there's nothing I could do about it because in order to have EPI, your pancreas has to be 90% damaged. And I was also told that my pancreas on an MRI scan looks normal. I was given the wrong tests, which I knew, and I submitted because I thought it was pride. But they found it through my fecal test, which is, it's a gold standard. There's no messing that up. And so I do have the insufficiency, but they don't know why. And I stopped seeking after why. Maybe the Lord's going to bring me to a place where I will, but right now, for my heart's sake, I won't. It's really hard. That's all I can say. It is very difficult sometimes. Your body is against you. Your mind could be against you. The Lord is so good, though, because I'll tell you what, I don't know how I got through it. There was a time where I wanted to die. I was crying out. I didn't want to take my life, but I cried out that the Lord would let me die, and he didn't. Because I wasn't getting any help. Thank you. They were telling me these things. And so I started researching my health and researching and taking it in my own hands. And that's where I became the God of my own life. Trust in the Lord. He restored me. Praise the Lord. He's helping me, but there's a lot of damage done in my heart. He showed me I had bitterness because I was still coming to church because I did desire to follow his will. I did want to be closer to the Lord. I felt greatly rejected. That's a hard one. Everybody in here knows, even if it's emotional suffering, the rejection you feel. How did I endure through the truth? Endure in the truth? Faith of a mustard seed and repentance. Luke 17:6 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, which is the mulberry tree's bitterness, be uprooted and planted in the sea. I started turning to the Lord and away from my sin. Instead of thinking about all the terrible things that were done to me, because then I did feel sorry for myself, I started looking to Him. And I had people in my life who told me the truth, and I'm grateful. They didn't put me down. They didn't tell me what I was going through wasn't real. I had people who told me the truth. They told me the truth that my heart needed to change. I was seeking in His word still. I was still seeking in His word. And His word never returns void. Isaiah 55:11. My word that comes forth from my mouth does not return unto me void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which I sent it and achieves what I desire. And your prayers, faith, the prayers of the faith will save the sick. The prayers held me up. Jesus heard. He may not have answered, but I started seeing small miracles. Something that would seem so small to somebody else every day was huge to me. And this is so funny because the Lord already spoke through Jenny, but He wanted me to read about the armor of God because this is about taking our thoughts captive. And I wanted to tell you it's impossible. It's impossible to please the Lord in your flesh. It has to die, and it has to be submitted. Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I always found it interesting that in that the Lord says in Ephesians, the first thing He says about the armor is have your loins girded about with truth. And so He was showing me the first part, well, before that is to put on. This is something unnatural, like Jenny was saying. We got to get dressed first. It is a protection of the Lord. It is an armor He's given to us. We have to put it on. It is still by His power. That doesn't take from Jesus, but we have a choice, and it's every day. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Amen. Every single one of you suffer. Some of us suffer more in physical matters, but everyone suffers. I forgot to say that my brother died also during this time. And so, in the beginning, I'm sorry, my brother died. And so I was dealing with that grief, or not dealing with it. And that was difficult as well. But the Lord got me through many of you. But by His Spirit, a word in season, you would not believe what a hug, a kind word, love, His love will do to a heart you don't even know. Asking how someone's doing, being sincere, you don't even know what that will do for someone who suffers. For anyone, but someone who suffers. Okay, so the Lord wanted me to share this. The belt, we're back to the armor of God, sorry. Loins girded about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the belt and the breastplate in a soldier's armor, they met together and formed the body. A Roman soldier would first put on the belt. 2 Corinthians 11:3 and Luke 12:35. Girded means to encircle with, belt, fasten, secure, prepare for action. In 1 Peter 1:13, it talks about having your loins girt as well, wearing the truth. So this implies wearing the truth as a tight belt, girding up your thoughts, desires, and preparing for action. If you're not in the Word, you can't do that. If you're not purifying your heart, you can't do that. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're holding on something in your heart, you can't do that. The armor of God, it doesn't come natural, as I said. He extends it to us. Our protection comes from our submission unto the Father. We must be committed to believe and walk in obedience to the entire Word of God. Now, I know that sounds like a heavy feat. We must be committed. You know, this life we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. He is our righteousness. But we have to be committed to the obedience of following after Christ. And without the belt of truth, which is the knowing the Word, the receiving the Word, the encompassing yourself with the gospel. And I'm not just talking about Jesus died for your sins. I'm talking about repent. I'm talking about love your enemy. Those are the things I'm talking about when I say the gospel. Because it's not over, ladies. He died, he's risen, but we work out our own salvation through fear and trembling. And that does not mean that it is a work of us. Jesus did it. But we work it out through obedience, through coming to his word, through in prayer. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart, constantly purifying your heart before the Lord. If we're not grounded in his word, we will be unable to properly wield the sword of the Spirit. You know, Jen was talking about that. We want to wield the sword of the Spirit. We want to say scripture against the enemy. Well, listen, last time I checked, he can't make us do anything. That was an excuse I used. I'm like, well, I'm getting attacked. And the Lord's like, he can't make you do anything. It's when we're drawn away by the lust of our own heart. And so you can't wield that sword because you're not walking in the truth. You're not encompassing the truth and what that means. And putting on the armor of God, Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added onto you. His righteousness. That's the breastplate of righteousness. If you put on the belt, gird your loins prepared in the word, that's that breastplate, if that belt's not on, that breastplate will fall off. It's his righteousness. He guards your heart by his word. He constantly speaks to you. And he still speaks to you when you're in sin. Now, the Lord loves us. Even if you are in rebellion, even if you're in this place, he still loves you. He still wants you. He still desires you. Even if no one wants you, he wants you. But I'm talking about an open rebellion. I refuse to forgive. And you might be there too. And I'm telling you, Jesus can work it out. It's not about a feeling, as was said. It's not a feeling. It's an obedience. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't want to. Jesus was spit on. He was mocked and ridiculed for us. And in First John 3, it talks about if we must walk and imitate the life of Christ. If we say we have Christ, we must live as Christ did. We can't do that in our flesh. It's impossible. So don't be discouraged. He will give the wisdom if you're seeking. Don't sit there and be like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to make it, because it was up to him. It's his righteousness. And so the gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In this is the law fulfilled. This is it. You know, the Lord was showing me anything else is filthy rags. He's so amazing how he uses people. Ruth doesn't even know. But she was speaking about something, and he was warning me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Esteem your brother higher than yourself. Forgive, love your enemies. Look at the Lord's life. That's the truth. Not justification of sin, never condemning another brother or sister, no slander, those things. No love. Because when Jesus was mocked and reviled, slandered, he didn't slander back. And so your strength comes from submitting unto the Lord. One second. Okay. I have more. I wrote down the whole Bible. And so if your strength comes from submitting to the Lord, then how do we do that? Because I know there's times I'm just going to be honest. I'm in so much pain, and because he's dealing with the rejection in my heart, last thing I want to do is read the word. Last thing I want to do is worship my flesh. But there's a desire in my heart that wants him because he put it there. You know, we think that we're trying to keep up and keep up, but scripture actually says God keeps us through power, through his power and faith. And so he keeps us. He also puts in our heart to do the will, to do his will. He deposits it in our heart. So how do we guard our heart so that we could take captive our thoughts? Well, the Lord gave me the book of Nehemiah, as Lori mentioned, Nehemiah 3. He built the wall despite opposition. It wasn't a wall of defense. It wasn't a wall of woe is me. There was no self-indulgence. He obeyed the Lord and he built the wall. And the wall we need to build is the word around our hearts. That though we are rejected, because we will be, Jesus was, that the Lord says he loves us. We need to build that wall of his word around our hearts. And if you look closely in Nehemiah, and if you can all read that, look at that, ask the Lord to give you a revelation. He gave me a revelation. That's about building the wall of his word. Even a believer, a Hebrew brother came to him and tried to get him to sin against the Lord. And he would not. I mean, they were threatening him. They were telling him, you know, they're going to come and attack him. They were mocking him. He kept building. He would cry out to the Lord and he kept building. And the last ploy of Satan was the believer, the brother. And had Nehemiah not known the word or scripture, the law, he would have sinned against the Lord. He wanted him to go inside the temple and it was unlawful because he was threatening him. People were coming for him. And so stand on the word. The Lord will protect us. As we conform our choices and become more righteous and make more righteous and godly choices, we will look more like Jesus. It'll protect us from deception, from bitterness. Proverbs 8:20, Psalms 23:3. And the Lord just wants me to encourage you. If anybody's suffering, anyone has bitterness, any of these things are going on, ask for prayer. I had a lot of pride, and it wasn't pride like you think. I had a lot of self-dependence, which is pride. I was ashamed of my suffering, and instead of asking for help, Now, there are a few I asked. I hid because I felt like it was my fault. You're not condemned, for there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. He loves you. There's always hope, always hope. Just bring your heart before him. There are many ladies here who will help you. And so my point is that guarding your mind, we do take those thoughts captive, because a lot of times that's how it happens. We get bitterness because we let these thoughts keep racing and racing, and the vain imaginations and all these things and the offenses we don't deal with. And like Jen said, we don't go to our sister, listen, Nicole, you messed up. You need to repent. That's not a heart of reconciliation. I learned that the hard way. We go, if we go to our brother or sister, it's for reconciliation. And it's for them as well. And so, submit under the mighty hand of God. Submit to his word. Talk to someone. You can't do it. You never could. You can't bear that burden. You cannot forgive in your flesh. You can't have that strength in your flesh. You can't reproduce your own faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And so it's always been Jesus. It will always be Jesus. It'll never stop being Jesus. It's always going to be what he did at the cross. He reigns. You were crucified with Christ. And so the more we're in his word and we choose to obey, we choose to repent, the more we'll start to look like Jesus. The more we'll start to see victory. And there's always going to be something he's going to work on. Nobody has arrived. No one. Except for Jesus, God in the flesh. But don't forget, he's still fully man. I forget that. And the Lord gave me that same scripture, Lord, he said, that I will learn obedience through what I suffer. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm learning obedience. So if I can warn you and exhort you, go talk to somebody. You need help, talk to someone. The Lord's not condemning you. Those voices aren't him. He's not condemning you. Jesus wants to heal you, and he wants you to trust in him. Suffering is a hard thing. I don't have it figured out. It's a day-by-day thing. My flesh rises up. But I was crucified with Christ. As Jenny said, I have no rights. I have none. And if I have the faith, then I need to stand in the faith of Jesus Christ. Because if I say I'm believing the gospel and I can't forgive, then I'm really not believing the gospel. So I pray for everybody here today that my testimony encourages you. I'm still sick, but my heart is lifted and my spirit is being renewed. My heart is being healed. And I thank the Lord that there were people that loved me no matter how ugly I got, because I was hurting. And I pray to be that for other people, because people are hurting. Amen. They don't understand. And so let's let the Lord be the judge. We do judge fruit. But let's come around one another and encourage one another. And that's about it.